Hi and welcome to The Practice Gap, the podcast for closing the gap between the practice you have and the one that you want. I'm Elizabeth, a chiropractor, a business owner, coach and entrepreneur on a mission to help you move from frustration and overwhelm to clarity, focus and joy in practice. Hi Karina, welcome to the studio. It's so good to see you.
Thank you.
Although I actually see you quite a lot during the week because we work together.
Yeah.
Could you please tell the audience a little bit about yourself?
Yeah. I have been in, if I could call it this business, this practice business for my whole career. I started, I think it is 20 years ago now, in the reception in a clinic. And I've done I think everything you can do in a clinic that's not, you know, treating patients, if you can say that. I've taken the phone, I worked with marketing, I worked with numbers, I worked with helping therapists. For the last couple of years, I have run the business with you called Praxis Liv, where we help clinics take their phones and just insurance for them and just help them with every practical thing they need in their everyday life. Yeah.
What has made you stay in this business for 20 years?
I think first of all, the people. You know, everywhere I go, it's such a, people are so great. They are so, you know, people are, you know, so good and great. And I experience that everywhere I go. And I think I like to work in a business that helps people. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it's a meaning, a more meaning to the work I do, because I know that the work I do helps people who helps people.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So when you work with your numbers,
yeah,
she loves statistics,
yeah,
and numbers.
Yeah, I do. And Excel.
which most chiropractors and other therapists kind of hate. They don't even know what it is.
Yeah.
Then you are just part of this helping people business.
Yeah. 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 I think, yeah. Yeah. And that's, you know, gives a meaning. Mm. Yeah. In my life. Yeah. Mm.
You have, in your career, you've seen chiropractors and other therapists from being just starting out.
Yeah.
And you have also been working with a lot of experience of working for 30 years plus.
Mm. Mm.
So you know a lot about the journey from just starting out to ending up as a successful chiropractor or other therapist. Is there some, or what are the biggest commonalities with the people just starting out and who really make it? How early can you spot, wow, this one is special?
I think you can spot it pretty early. I think it is something with something maybe about their passion and about their practice and their patients. And I think the willing to learn from others, not being afraid to
try new things.
Things and try to, you know, use the people around them to be better in a way.
Are you thinking more? What I hear you saying is people are more coachable.
Yeah.
They ask questions and want to.
Yeah, they want to know that and they're not afraid to ask questions. They're not afraid to, I think many are afraid to feel that people should see that they're not good enough for.
They look a little stupid.
Yeah, they look a little stupid.
If they open their mouth, I should know.
But they are good at observing other therapists and in learning from other therapists. I think another thing that they are good at, communicate. I think that if you see back, if you see the other way, if you see people who are really successful today, what, you know, separates them from persons that are not, or maybe less. I think it's not always that they are really good at. No, okay, they're not book smart, but they are really good at talking to people and making the patients feel like they've seen and heard, and that does that the patients come back to them and recommend them to other patients, and then they got a lot of patients, and that makes them good at treating people. Mm. So it's not like they are good in the beginning, but they're getting good because they have so many patients.
Yeah.
And I think that's one of the tricks, people think that people who's really successful is because they are so book smart and they're so good at treating people, but it's the amount of patience they have had that made them good at that. In the beginning, they were just good at talking to people.
And so then you get better as the bigger your practice you have. It's kind of like this sort like a spiral that goes up. Yeah. Where the more people you treat, the better you get.
Yeah.
And the better you are at communicating your passion and seeing the person feel seen and heard. The more patient you will get because you will attract more people.
Yeah. And the better you get at treating people. So yeah, I think that's maybe one of the things I see in the beginning
One of the big issues with some really excellent chiropractors who hasn't really made it yet is a lack of self-confidence. Yes. They know so much and they are kind of scared to selling themselves. They're scared to telling people like they should come see me, I can help you.
Yeah.
So this lack of self-confidence, what have you seen? In your career, have you met people who you see the potential and you see the lack of self-confidence? Have you seen them like break through and just really bloom? Or do you think that will kind of hinder them in their blooming?
it does hinder them in their blooming. And I think I really see it mostly in women. You know, we talk ourselves down a lot. Mm. But I think maybe one of the tricks, if you can call it that, is I think maybe one of the things I've seen that, you know, could switch that or do that is that if you find one or maybe two things to be good at, you find your thing and you do that thing and not be good at everything, when you specialize in something or find your thing, you stand out and you get a lot of those patients and you get good at that. And that becomes you in a way, you know, that, you know, reflects the person you are. And I think that does something with your self-esteem, you know, that you feel better.
So we're back to the good spiral.
Yeah.
The better you have become on one certain little area, the more feedback you will get that, oh, wow, you're so amazing at treating dizzy people something like that. And then it builds because you get more dizzy patients and you get better at it. Yeah. And then people was like, oh, she's so good at dizzy people. Yeah. You should go see her. Yeah. And then it builds your
self-esteem. And I think also if you work in a clinic with other chiropractors or other therapists, you know, you don't have to like fight for the same patients.
Yeah.
And you know, because then you're thinking, oh, why did she go to him and not to me? And you know, that goes around in your head. Because if you're just, I'm treating, you know, ankles and all the ankle persons are coming to me. So then you don't have that fight in, or not to fight, but you know, that thing in the,
I have a story here. I think most chiropractors, I speak for my profession, we all think that as therapists, like there's a certain number of people out there who need us.
Mm-hmm.
So then if we are more than one person in a clinic, we kind of fight about the same patients calling into clinic.
That's a good, better word.
But that's usually not really how it works. One wonderful, I run my own practice when I'd just been a couple of years in practice. I was having a practice with my... I run my own practice. Mm-hmm. I had a small practice and there was a lot of women, especially between like 30 and 40, and had some kids, and I had been working there for a year and a half, and then I was pregnant.
Mm-hmm.
And at that time I was married to another chiropractor, and when I stopped working, he took over my practice because I had a small practice, so he could do both his practice and mine. And after a couple of weeks, I was like, oh, how is Mrs. Jones doing? She's like, oh, she was there once. So how is Marianne doing? Oh, she was there once. And then it turns out within 3.5 weeks, he had 80% men with acute low back pain. And I had just had, you know, like 8% women with chronic issues. And I'm like, wow, we could just work together at the same clinic because we attract completely different patients, and it's like it has nothing to do with it's not about the cert, it's not about the numbers, it's who you attract.
Yes, it is. And I think you have to try to attract people to, and you have to find something in yourself. What are your passion, and what are you, what do you like working with, and you know, do and you know, trying, you know, or just doing that, and you know, letting go of the others to find your thing. Because I really see that people who do that, and some people do that without thinking that they're doing that, just going their own way. They don't have these issues with their self-esteem and things like that, like people who doesn't do that. So, yeah.
Well, I had got this image of this chiropractic, this book that was written of a chiropractor. His name is Fred Barge. And it was like one of these green books that there was this chiropractic books that was written a long time, like green book series. And the title of that book, it kind of always bounces back on me, because it's like he wrote a book, Life Without Fear.
That would be a great life.
And that's such a beautiful, beautiful title. And it, I don't remember much of the book, but it just, the without, just to work through having this fear, because we have all this fear.
Yes.
That's totally unnecessary. Yeah. And I see it in all the other chiropractors. It's like when you let go of the fear, then you kind of, it's so much easier to bloom.
It is. And it stops us from, you know, getting to be the person we really are, because we stop ourselves, you know. We're looking for excuses in the environment around us, and we just have to look at ourselves. But that's the hardest thing too, because you have to, you know, you have to go some rounds in your head. maybe I try to, when people come to me and talk about these things, I try to say that, you know, go to the people that you get inspired by, or that, you know, you think is, oh, this is really good chiropractor. And you know, just be with that person for a day or two and just see, what does that person do? What does that person say? And, you know, it's like faking you till you're making it, you know, and try to do the same things. Because you don't have to, like, figure it all out for yourself. You can learn from the people who has figured it out already. So do that maybe a couple of times a year. And I have always done that in my career. I've always find the person that I admire, or, you know, that I think, oh, he or she is really good at her work or his work. And, you know, I don't have that saying. I don't know if it's like a saying in English, but in Norwegian it's like henge på det som et slips. I don't know what we can call it in English.
Hang around them like a tie. Yeah, I don't know if that works in English.
It's something like that. You know, you just have to stick with them, and you just become their friend, and just, you know, learn from them. And the first years I did that, I was just sitting still and not saying anything. I was just listening to what they did and what they say. And so many times I was thinking that, oh, wow, they said that. I would never, I wouldn't dare to do that. And I, hanging around them, I got experience, but not doing it myself, but by listening and seeing them, to all the things they, you know, try to do and got to do that I would never, you know, dare to do. And then I, you know, learn and see, oh, it's going, oh, I can do that. And I think
it's kind of having a free seminar every day. Yeah, you go hang around with someone's like, and you can just soak up their knowledge.
And I see when I try to tell people, you have to do that. Many of the people who, you know, who experience that, oh, I don't have that self-esteem, and they, I see that they, oh no, they don't want to do that. That's too much. And I think that's the first step. Just do that. Find somebody that you like, and, you know, go and learn from them.
That reminds me, I had somebody working for me a few years or with me a few years ago, and she's like, well, I could never, I know that you do that, but I could never do that. And I'm like, why? And it's not that you couldn't do it, it's like, I don't want to try it. And it's kind of sad, because you miss out. And in the beginning, you have to try different strategies. You can't figure it out. You haven't really learned it in school, and you have to dare to try new things and new phrases. And of course, I mean, you shouldn't copycat other people, but you have to do it in the beginning to find your style. And then you find your voice. If you try different ways or metaphors that other people use, then you find, oh, this is me, and you can find inspiration. And it's really nothing else than doing learning other things, but I think we're just fearing the communication part and try different phrases because, oh no, that's not me.
Yeah.
But yeah, I think you have to try that too.
You have to try it, and in the beginning it doesn't, you know, hear like it doesn't feel like you, but then you find, like you say, your voice in it, and it goes a little bit faster than yourself figuring everything out for yourself, because you can just take the things that other have figured out before. And it's like reading a book, the same way you learn, and then you get,
I did one very interesting thing early in my career. It was kind of scary. I actually recorded what I said during a conversation, and I wrote it down. Mm. And to check, like, what am I actually saying? And I'm like, oh, man. And that's actually a great exercise to, especially, you know, like when you, the first time when you explain what you do, in how to explain a chiropractic or how to conduct an interview, to see what are you actually saying.
Yeah.
And to have the courage to listen to yourself, or you can just, I mean, you can just write down, this is how you should say, and then read it and like, does this make sense? How can I say this in different way?
Yeah.
And you do learn by writing. So then actually writing down what you're saying and writing by maybe new sentences, which may be better, and or ask a colleague, how do you ask about emotional problems or something like that? Or how do you explain chiropractic in three sentences? Yeah. And then by writing that and actually practicing out loud when there's no one there, it's a really, really good exercise that I think many people are super scared to do, because then you kind of look at yourself in the mirror.
Yeah,
and that's kind of
it's
hard.
Easier to go around with all your fear.
Oh, yeah.
And then to, that was a really good exercise.
Yeah.
And I think also then maybe you see what you don't tell the patients, all the things that, I think I tell them this, but I don't.
Yeah.
When I have been working in this business for so long, I get a lot of treatments, of course.
Yeah, that's a good way to learn too.
Yes, it is. But I see that a lot. Lack of communication with me as a patient. I see that so often, and I miss that as a patient. You know, talk to me, tell me what you do, tell me what is going to happen next. I don't know these things. Maybe they think because I work in the business that I do, but I don't. That's not my field. So, you know, the communication bit is so important to make me stay as your patients, because else I just go someplace else the next time.
I think you are touching into something really important there, that we kind of, when we have a patient over a few years, then it's kind of, you forget about them, you talk about life, and then you forget about the basic things that are actually there. I mean, they're happy, you're happy, everyone's happy, but you kind of forget that they still don't know as much, or they're still very interested in knowing more about their body.
I had
this experience. I went to one of my colleagues with a bad knees, and he was working on my knee. And he was so good at actually communicating time and what to do and how to. I'm like, talk to me as I am. I don't know nothing about it. Give me exercises.
Yeah.
And it was so helpful. And I'm like, I'm just a patient when I'm here. It's like, I don't know anything, because it's my knee. I don't know anything about my knee. So, and just being super clear with me on where I was, how much better I could become, how I should train.
Yeah.
It just made all the difference. And I was just like, we need to be clear. Like, I asked the one, like, how much better should I become? Oh, at least 20% better within 6 months. I'm like, I am working my ass up here. I'm going to be 20.
Yeah,
and it's,
of course.
It's that hope thing. Yeah. And it just kind of just blew me away how important are little words.
Yeah.
I don't know, you know, if the 20% better thing. And then this other guy, he said, like, of course you should be better. It just takes a long time.
Yeah.
There's no reason why I shouldn't become really well.
No.
And that is just so motivating to hear.
Yeah, of course. And, you know, that brings us back to, you know, why does some practitioner or chiropractor get really good? I think it is what they say to their their patients more, sometimes more than what they treat.
Yeah.
In a way, if I can say that.
Yeah. Well, that's okay.
Okay. But most of the times that I've gone and get treatment myself, they haven't talked to me. Yeah. And that's sad in a yeah. way. And I've sticked with the ones who does.
Yeah, yeah.
And I'm going to be there for life.
Yeah.
Because I know when I go, they talk to me, they see me, they give me something. And if I'm in a longer treatment program, every time I'm there, because maybe the situation is not changing so much from time to time, but then they just give me something else in a way. They yeah. give me maybe a new exercise or something they have read about. You know, Karina, about this or this. So every time I go out, I've learned something in a yeah. way. And it could just be small things and they could be big things. But in a way, they give me just not the treatment, but something else. And that yeah. I also think that people who are successful do. They give the same advice to every patient every week. I don't know. But it doesn't
actually,
matter.
I don't think you do. Like, good people don't. They see it and they connect it
yeah,
and they
yeah.
see what you
yeah, yeah.
what you need that day.
Yeah.
I think that's kind of experience yeah. after a while. You know.
Yeah. You know the person.
You
yeah.
know, you see it.
Yeah.
And it doesn't take any effort because you
no.
just know.
Yeah. And I think maybe it must be more satisfying to be that kind of therapist too, in a way.
Yeah.
Because you have another connection with your patients. And I think that must be sad. I don't know because mm-hmm. I'm not. But I would think that would be satisfying for me if I was a chiropractor to know how that bond with my patients.
And also think that new chiropractors, mm-hmm. they think their role is to fix a problem. It's like if
yeah.
I come in with a shoulder problem, they
yeah.
just want to fix the shoulder.
Yeah.
But I think a lot of, especially in this world,
yeah.
we need somebody to follow us through
yeah.
all this stuff.
For life.
Because, I mean, it's like, it's not this shoulder might be a problem, but there's always things. How do I maximize my life? I want to go to someone to say like, okay, how can I feel a little better? Or
yeah.
What can I do to become better
yeah.
or stay healthier? I mean, one yeah. thing is to get rid of my headaches when I have that. But I also want that X factor.
Yeah.
I want that something. And that just, when my shoulder is treated, then there's always something new.
Yeah,
most people have
yeah.
issues.
In this world we live in with
yes.
all the stress and all the things we're going to do just in a day, of course we get pains.
And I think that maybe that has changed a lot during the 2030
yeah.
last year. The stress levels are
yeah.
so high.
It is.
And we are so inactive. We see so much.
But before everybody, I remember when I was little, every family had their family doctor in a
mm.
way. You know, and it was like, oh, this is our family doctor. He knows us. We go to him every time it is something in our family. And why shouldn't chiropractor or physiotherapist be the family chiropractor or mm. the family physiotherapist? You know, this is the person that knows us and knows me. And every time I have an issue, I go there. And maybe before it was just the doctors, but now every therapist can be a family therapist in a
yeah.
way. And people...
And
I
that think touches in at the podcast with Tone Tellefsen. She has
yeah.
a beautiful interview that talks about that to be like
yeah.
part of the family and
yeah.
having the grandmother, the mother,
yeah.
and that's how to create a practice for life.
Yeah, it is really. And I think for me, I have my, you know, my chiropractor and I'm going to stay with him for life.
mm-hmm.
And, you know, it's so safe in a way, because I know that I can go to him and he will help me, and I can just book an appointment online if I have a back problem or my arm or anything, and he will always help me. And that's a really good thing in life. And I know, another example, I have my mother. She is 74, going on 75, but she's 74, and she has found her therapists. She has an acupuncture that she loves and a chiropractor she loves, and she goes to them regularly because, you know, she's old and she needs help. She's so much better than her, you know, her friends in many ways, because she's good at taking care of herself, but she has used some time to find her people. And I think because it's not like you match with everybody, you have to, you know, try a little bit and then you find the person you match with, and then the treatment gets better because you match in a way. So I think find your people.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
Just like, I just went to the dentist 2 days ago
mm-hmm.
and I just realized I've been with her for at least, I think, 20 years. Yeah. You're getting old. And then I think, I might get old too. And I think the good thing, she's a dentist, but yeah. she sees me. She yeah. always talks. Mm. She remembers my dog. Mm. She remembers. She's like, how did that thing with the cabin work out?
Yeah.
And she just remembers. And we have this beautiful, nice, I mean, it doesn't take many minutes.
No.
And I feel like, and I of course ask her how she's doing with all kinds of stuff. And it's such a nice connection. And I would never go to another
dentist. Why?
I did go once because I was super desperate. I was not home. And in her, I feel safe. I have no idea if she's the best one in the world, but she's the best one for me.
Yeah. Maybe that's some of the solution to how to get being a good chiropractor is, you know, find your people.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Find your patients.
You know, find your patients. Yeah. The ones that you connect with.
Yeah.
And you hang in there.
And dare, and also have the courage to stay with them.
Yeah.
Have the courage to really care. And
I remember a good chiropractor who started out at one of the clinic I was working at. And one of the things he did was in the journal, every time of course, he wrote all the things he should write, but he also wrote personal things. Yeah. She's going on vacation next week, or she's doing that, or he's doing that, because he needs to remember that for the next time. And he knew that he wouldn't remember. So he just wrote it down.
Well, that's a good tip.
Yeah, it
write
is.
Write down these little things and ask about.
Because you can't remember all the things, but people think that you remember. So,
and then also when you write things down, you actually remember.
Yeah,
and
you do.
And then you do remember the dog's
you
name
do.
Or something.
Yeah, so that's a trick, you know, to do that, yeah. Mm.
Well, that's a wonderful little trick and a tip. And so if we should sum up a little bit.
Yeah, try.
It's really good to find your people, be good at something like find your thing to be good at.
Yeah.
And write down the little things.
Yes, do that.
What else did we...
And dare to learn from the people that you admire.